So antibiotics are an amazing drug because what they do is they go into our bodies and kill bacteria. They don't work on viruses, but they kill bacteria, but do so without harming the rest of our body, and therefore they're pretty unusual in that way. Now, what happens when we use a lot of antibiotics is that the bacteria that are sensitive to the antibiotic die out, and then the ones that know how to be resistant to evade the antibiotic survive. Over time, the entire population is made up of just these resistant bacteria, and at that point, the antibiotics stop working. And that's the problem we have today with antibiotics. Many of them don't work any longer because we've been using them extensively over the 70-year period that we've had antibiotics.
Can you classify the antibiotics you looked at in your research? Like, what are they used for? Any specific illnesses?
So in this particular study, we looked at antibiotics that were used for two classes of infections. So we were looking at urinary tract infections, which, you know, most people are familiar with, affect both men and women. And then we also looked at soft skin tissue infections. So these are growing category of infections that many of your listeners are probably familiar with now. And what we found was that in both these types of infections, resistance was going up, more so for the urinary tract infections, because there are fewer new antibiotics to deal with urinary tract infections, and therefore when the drugs stop failing, it is a backup drug that one can bring to treat the patient.
Did you find that certain types of antibiotics are used more than others?
We certainly did. So we found, first of all, that across the United States, antibiotic use has been declining. So the use had declined about 17% between 1999 and 2010. So that's a roughly 12-year period. There was 17% decline. Now, that decline was very different in different states. So in Kentucky, for instance, the decline was pretty much flat over that period of time, whereas in states like Florida, for instance, or Oregon or Nevada, use declined a significant amount between 25 and 33%. Now, of the antibiotics that were declining, penicillins and macrolides, which are, you know, not the most powerful of antibiotics, declined the most. The use of more powerful antibiotics like trimethoprim sulfa and fluoroquinolones didn't change a whole lot between 1999 and 2010.
Why were those antibiotics declining?
Well, one reason why antibiotic use, especially of the penicillins, is declining is possibly because there's greater penetration of messages from awareness programs, such as from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, asking doctors not to prescribe antibiotics and also asking patients not to demand antibiotics. So there seems to be certainly greater awareness across the country of the need to think of antibiotics as a very special category of drugs that shouldn't be misused. Now, somehow that message has not reached all parts of the country, which is why we see a divergence. You know, some states where there's been a huge decrease and some states where there's been hardly any decrease at all.
Now, what health problems can come from the overuse of antibiotics?
So when antibiotics are required, such as for a bacterial infection, they're great because they can reduce the period for which you're sick and also reduce the chance of worse outcomes. Now, if one does not need the antibiotic, like all drugs, they can have side effects, which also result in trips to the emergency room. Of course, there's the cost of the antibiotic, which you're paying for when you didn't even need it in the first place. So that's an additional cost. And then when you use an antibiotic unnecessarily, you increase the likelihood that that drug won't work for you in the future, the next time you actually do need the antibiotic. But even worse is the fact that when each of us overuses antibiotics, the consequences in terms of resistance are not just for us, but also for everyone around us. So individuals overusing antibiotics create a community or a societal problem of resistance whereby the antibiotics stop working. And that's something we should all be commonly conscious of and try to do something in a collective fashion.
Are there illnesses that are being treated with antibiotics that can be treated some other way?
There are many illnesses such as, you know, upper respiratory infections, many cases of bronchitis, which are caused by viral pathogens, ear infections, which are caused by, viral pathogens, that are all treated extensively with antibiotics, which don't need antibiotics at all. So there is tremendous scope for reducing unnecessary antibiotic use in the country, and certainly in the states, certainly using them a great deal. without any hazard to individuals' health.
You said in your study that Kentucky ranks number one in the country for antibiotic usage. Do you know why that's the case?
Well, Kentucky and a few other states in the neighborhood, like West Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, all have very high levels of antibiotic use. There are a few hypotheses for this. One is that, you know, public health messaging. So these are states which also have high levels of obesity, also have high rates of smoking, and it's possible that public health messages are just not getting out, whether they're about antibiotics or they're about anything else. There's also a possibility that perhaps people are sicker in these states because of infectious disease than in other states. But that's a harder hypothesis to believe because there's no real data which shows that people are actually suffering from more infectious disease in Kentucky than they are, for instance, in Colorado or Washington, which have half the amount of antibiotic use per capita. So one can only conclude that there's a huge cultural difference between the way antibiotics are used and prescribed and demanded by patients in Kentucky compared to many of the states in the country which do a far better job in controlling antibiotic use.
Bottom line, Dr. Laxman Orion, just how worried should people be about antibiotic overuse?
Well, I think beyond worrying about antibiotic overuse, people should be worried about antibiotic resistance, which is a consequence of overuse. And therefore, there's a role for each of us to do here. There's a lot of evidence, many, many studies which show that physicians are more likely to prescribe an antibiotic if the patient expects one or if they think the patient expects an antibiotic. So patients can help a lot by not demanding antibiotics from their physician. Physicians in these states can do a lot better in making sure that the patient actually does need an antibiotic before writing out a prescription. I think one thing that all your listeners could do is go out and get a seasonal flu shot, because antibiotic use peaks during the winter months when people get the sniffles or they get the flu, and people mistake this for something that needs an antibiotic and go out and get one from their doctors. So preventing the flu can also prevent the need for antibiotics. And then, of course, in hospitals, where there is also a significant amount of drug-resistant bacteria, it would be very helpful if there was better infection control and therefore a reduced need for antibiotics. So in short, there's a lot of things that people can do to reduce antibiotic use.
Dr. Laxman Orion, Director for Extending the Cure, a research effort to address the growing problem of antibiotic resistance. He joined me from Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
You're very welcome.